I heard part of it before, but thank you for filling in the parts that I didn't know about. It is a miracle. It's a miracle that anybody trusts Christ as their
Amen.
Savior. It's an amazing story. Now, what I want to talk about today is probably one of the most common questions that are often asked. And I think mainly by Christians, however, others who don't know the Lord yet might ask this question as well. And the question is, how do I know God's will for my life? I mean, that's a pretty good question. If a person is asking that question, they have probably realized that there's more to life than just getting up and going to work in the morning and going home and watching the ball game or the hockey game and getting up and going to work the next day and doing the same thing day after day, making money, spending money, going on vacations, not going on vacations, and things like that. So what is life about? And does God have a plan? Does God have a plan for my life? If you're asking that question this morning, without hesitation, I'd be happy to tell you God has a plan for your life. We know that God made man in his own image. The Bible is very clear that ever since conception, that God knows you. He knew you before you were ever born. He knew you before the world was ever created, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. The sad consequence is that many people never know that plan. They go through their whole life and they don't know what God's plan is for their life. Now, some people try religion, and it's not too long. If you try religion, it's not too long that you found out that religion is not the answer. Go to church, take your Bible, give your money, stand up, sit down, pray, go this, do that, you know, and all of a sudden you go, man, this is not working for me. I don't know why people keep trying religion. So religion is man's way of trying to get to heaven. Christianity is God's way of coming down to earth to save man. And as I said before, God has a plan. Now, I think most people say, well, you really can't know that plan. I mean, it's just like good luck, try your best, try this. If that doesn't work, try something else. But let me suggest that the Bible actually tells us how we can know the will of God for our life. Now, I'm going to say, first of all, if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, now I'm not talking about going to church. I'm not talking about trying to be good. I'm not talking about you just do the best you can. And at the end of life, if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, then you get to go to heaven. The Bible knows nothing of that. The Bible says that the gospel is good news. Now listen to me for a minute. The good news is that you can't save yourself. That's the good news. Because when you realize you can't save yourself, then you're interested in having help from God. You're interested in God helping you. You see, God's plan is to help people who can't help themselves. If you could be good enough or do enough good works or be have a moral character or you could be a person that's not selfish at all. You could be unselfish. You could do volunteer work. You could go to the hospitals. You could feed the poor. You could do whatever you could. If you could be good enough somehow to earn your way into heaven, then what is Jesus Christ doing on the cross? Why is he there? Well, the answer to that question is, We can't be good enough. That there's nothing that you and I can do. See, heaven is perfect. You got that? And if you're not perfect, you can't go to heaven. You go, oh my, I'm in trouble. That's right. And that's why you need to listen to this. None of us are perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. And if God let us into heaven, then we got a heaven full of imperfect people and we got a heaven full of sin. But there's no sin in the presence of God. You say, well, there's no hope for anybody. No, there is hope. And the hope is that God has a plan. He's got a will for your life. Listen to this. This is a Bible verse. God is not willing that any should perish. Now, that's God's will. He doesn't want you to perish. A lot of people don't like to talk about hell. I don't necessarily like to talk about it, but the Bible talks about it. There is a hell. There is a place prepared for the devil and his angels. Not prepared for you or me. Not prepared for humanity. But the Bible is very clear that unless you accept God's plan of salvation, the only alternative is the place prepared for the devil and his angels. And so God is not willing for you to go there. God is doing everything he can to reach you, to show you his love, to explain his way of salvation. If you could go to church enough to earn your salvation, then what's Jesus doing on the cross? If you could be good enough, if you could do anything, then God wouldn't have to go to all the trouble of sending his son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. Now, just because Jesus died on a cross doesn't mean that everybody's saved. The plan of salvation goes like this. God sent his son into the world to save sinners. Jesus came into the world to seek and save those which are lost. You know, unless you know you're lost, you don't want to be saved. Unless you know you're a sinner, you don't need a savior. And so if we admit that we're sinners, if we admit that we have broken God's laws, if we admit that we have a hole in our heart, if we admit that I don't know how things never work out for me, if we admit that we have need, please listen. God says, I'm not willing that you should perish. I want you to be saved. I want to forgive you of your sins. I want to give you a new life. I want to give you eternal life. I want you to come and live with me in heaven. You go, great, okay, give it to me. God says, no, wait a minute. There's a condition. You must believe that my son Jesus came and died for your sins, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day for you, just for you to pay the penalty of your sin. Sin separates you from God, and Jesus was separated from God on the cross. He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's Jesus on the cross, because Jesus took your place, the sinner's place. And the Lord Jesus Christ died for you, buried for you, rose again for you to give you new life. Now, if you're ever going to know God's will for your life, you got to get saved. You say, well, how would I do that? Well, trust Christ. You say, well, how would I do that? Do I have to go to church? No, you don't have to go to church. Do I have to pray? No, you don't even have to pray. But you must believe in your heart that Christ died for your sins. That's what you have to do, that God raised him the third day. You must accept the fact that you are the sinner and that Christ is the only Savior. Now, if you do that, that happens in a moment of time. It takes a minute to be born physically. It takes a minute to die physically. It takes a minute for you to say in your heart, Jesus, I don't want to go to a devil's hell. I want to know your will for my life on earth. I want to know what real life is. I don't want to just exist, go to work and just exist and then die and don't know what's going to happen. I want to know your will for my life. And so if you do that on the authority of God's word, you'll be born again. You will enter into the family of God. And God says, I have a will and a plan for your life. And I got to warn you about something. There's a lot of people that try Jesus just like they try on a pair of shoes. If they don't feel good, then they take them off. That's not the way you trust Christ as your Savior. It's not that we try Jesus. It's just that we understand we don't have any hope. We don't have any future. We don't have any blessing without Christ in our life. You'll never be forgiven by your church. You'll never be forgiven by any person, any man on earth. You can't even forgive yourself. But God can forgive you if you trust Christ as your Savior. You'll have peace with God. You'll have an understanding that God has a plan for your life. But I do want to warn you, there is no salvation apart from repentance. You say, now wait a minute. Now, what is that? Just giving God the benefit of the doubt. You say, what's that? If whatever God says about sin, that's what you need to believe. If God says sin will kill you and separate you from me for all of eternity, which the Bible says, you say, well, I'm going to give God the benefit of the doubt. God says that, I'm going to believe that. There's no salvation without accepting what God says. There is no salvation without, listen to this, conversion. We hear a lot about commitment. How about conversion? In the book of Acts, chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, you need to be converted so your sins, are you listening, can be blotted out. Well, what is that? Well, that when I trust Christ as my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, are you listening? His blood shed on the cross for you, listen, cleanses you. You know what that means? Erases your sin. They're blotted out. They're gone. They're no more. It's not like you get them covered up till you sin again and then that comes. No, they're gone. Your sins are gone. The Bible is very clear. God says, I put your sins in the depths of the sea. I have put your sins behind my back. I have put your sins as far as the east is from the west. I can't remember them anymore. There's some things God can't remember. He can't remember that you ever had any sins when they're washed away with the blood of Christ. They are blotted out. There's no salvation unless you have new life. You say, well, how do you get new life? Well, you trust Christ. Isn't this wonderful? Look, I take God at his word. I believe he can blot my sins out. And I trust Christ. I'm born again. I got new life. This is not another physical birth. This is a spiritual birth. And when I trust Christ as my Savior, the Bible says this, you are a new creation. Oh, I like that. I got a new life. I got a new father. The devil was your father before. You didn't know that. Nobody knows that. But the Bible says that. There's only two families, the devil's family and God's family. And you're born into the devil's family. Everyone on earth is born into the devil's family. That's why you got to be born again. And so once we're born again into God's family, we get new life, a new creation. But then there's one last thing I want to say about this. There's no salvation without, listen, lasting change. Lasting change. Maybe you know a story like I know a story. I know several people that told me, oh, I became a Christian. Well, they might have become a Christian one night, but the next day they weren't a Christian. Or they might have become a Christian 1 month, but the next month they weren't a Christian. Or they might have thought they became a Christian, but it's like a pair of shoes that didn't fit. I had to take Jesus off. That didn't work in my life. There is no salvation without lasting change in your life. So I want to ask you the question. If you want to know God's will for your life, have you trusted Christ? You go, well, I believe in Jesus. Okay. Has that resulted in a change in your attitude, a change in your character, a change in your vocabulary, a change in your geography, a change in your companionship? Who do you hang around with? You see, lasting change is absolutely the evidence of a changed life. I think I told you this before, but listen, 17 years after Jesus saved me, 17 years later, I went back to my home church back in Mississippi. And I was actually asked to preach in that home church. And so they made an announcement. Here's a little town, 1,200 people, and one of those small little village communities. And so they announced that Joe Reese was going to be preaching. Well, let me tell you something. The church was full that morning. And one of the reasons the church was full that morning is because for 17 years, Joe has been saying that Jesus changed his life, that he's not the same person he used to be. And all my former friends, and some of them maybe were still my friends to some degree, word got out, Joe Reese is going to be preaching. Joe Reese? No, Joe Reese is not going to be preaching. Oh, he said he became a Christian, but that'll wear off. You know, it won't last. Well, 17 years later, I go back to this church. And I stand up to preach, and I'm talking about the place is packed. They put chairs in the aisle. Who is there? If people were there that I grew up with. People were there that I drank whiskey with and took drugs with and did all kind of stupid things with, gambling and racing and whatever we did in those days. You know why they were there? After 17 years, something happened to this guy. It was evidence that salvation had taken place. So what I want to tell you about this is that every day, if you're a Christian, every day that you live for Jesus is another evidence, another weight, another surety that Jesus has changed your life. It is the evidence of new life every day. Don't ever give up. You want your wife, you want your husband, you want your children, you want your parents to come to the Lord. They're watching you like a hawk. If you say, I believe in Jesus, but nothing ever happened. I believe in Jesus, but for a month it worked, but then it didn't work, you know. Nobody's ever coming to Christ like that because they know it's not real. And so the evidence of salvation is lasting change. Now, let me summarize. When we are born again, we have a new nature. It's just not like, join the club, it's called church. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about a relationship. See, Jesus said, He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. Okay, so if I accept Jesus as my Savior, He said, I will take you to the Father. He's the only way to heaven. You can't get to heaven by going to church. You can't get to heaven by being good. But you can get to heaven. You can get to the Father through Jesus Christ. So He's the way, and He'll give you the way to heaven. So when you trust Him, you get a new life. You're not just on your own. Listen to this. Christ comes into your life. Now, if you know anything at all about the Bible, anything, you've probably heard of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I don't know what religion you might be, what denomination you go to, but the Bible talks about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Well, God the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. It's a wonderful truth. Christ died on the cross for you. As a sinner, I believe with my heart, not my head, that Christ is my Savior. Listen to this. God, the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Christ himself, comes into my life. The Bible tells us our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God in us. And we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. Who bought you? Well, God the Father bought you with the blood of his Son. He's bought you out of the marketplace of sin, and he's bought you for himself. So I am a new person in Christ. I have a new nature. I don't know if you can get it. It's a little hard, but listen to it. That when you accept Christ as your Savior, the thrice holy God of Israel, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and the power of the Holy Spirit comes to live in your heart. Now you've got a new nature, a divine nature. Christ lives in you. Paul would say, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That is the point. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you. You got a new nature. Now, when you get this new nature, things start changing. Things change all over the place. But it's got to, listen, it has got to start inside before it is real on the outside. You start changing habits, you know, you quit smoking and you quit drinking and you quit gambling and you quit. That doesn't make you a Christian. But Christ makes you a Christian. And if on the inside the Spirit of God is working in your heart, guess what? Then all these things on the outside start changing. Believe me, they do. But now you might think I forgot about my question. I haven't forgot about it. I'm building up to it. How then can I know the will of God? I'm glad you asked. You got a Bible? We're going to open our Bibles now. Watch this. Romans chapter 12. That's where I want you to go. Romans chapter 12. And I want to read you two verses in Romans chapter 12. The first two verses, and over these verses, we're going to write this thing. How can I know the will of God? Already said that God is not willing that any should perish. You know that, okay? God doesn't want you to go to hell. He never designed hell for you. He wants you to be with him in heaven. But as a Christian, as a person who's trusted Christ, where should I go to school? Who should I marry? What job should I take? Where should I live? What house should I buy? How would I ever know the will of God? Great. Perfect. Perfect. I got it. I got the Bible tells me right here. And I'm going to read it for you. And we're going to get into this with a few minutes that I got left. And we're going to finish up with this next week, Lord willing. But let me read for you now. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Watch your Bibles. I beg you, I beseech you, I implore you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, what? Will of God. How are you going to know the will of God? How are you going to prove? How are you going to test? How are you going to know what God's will is for your life? Now, over the years, as an itinerant preacher, going away, places, all different places, this has been a very common question. It comes from young people, it comes from older people, it comes from any kind of people that says, excuse me, Mr. Preacher Man, could you tell me what God's will is for my life? And I'm thinking to myself, well, what are they really asking? Are they asking, what university do I go to, or do I even go to university? What car should I buy? What house should I live? What person should I marry? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All these things in life. And in order, and listen, I believe God has a will for your life. And I believe he has an answer for all those questions. But those questions are on the peripheral. They are things that are going to work themselves out if you get the big one right. And that is, do you know the Lord as your Savior, first of all? And if you do know the Lord as your Savior, then do you want to know what God's will is for you? He's got a work for you. He's got a spiritual gift for you. He has got a plan for your life. He has got the most exciting, adventurous, sensational life you could ever imagine. Listen, Christianity is not boring. To be a Christian doesn't mean you go to church every day. Christianity is into the fabric of life, living out Christ, living out his will, enjoying life, an abundant. Jesus said, the thief wants to kill and steal and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's God's will for you. But if you want to get to some details, let's notice this just for a moment before we finish up today. First of all, in verse 1, this is for the believer. You've trusted Christ. Now watch this. He says you need to present your body a living sacrifice. Oh, you say, well, what's that? Well, that's, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. In the Old Testament, they just went out in the flock and rubbed a little sheep on the head when it wasn't looking, cut his throat. That sheep had no idea what was going on. Like a sheep to the slaughter, the Bible said. And that sheep then took the sinner's place. The sinner didn't get his throat slashed. The sheep did. And the blood of that little animal then was a token of an innocent life given for the guilty life. Millions, I'm going to exaggerate, billions of animals were probably killed in the thousand years of the Old Testament. Okay? But that never satisfied God. That was temporary sacrifice. That was only for a moment in time until, are you listening, God's lamb came. You say, God had a lamb. Yes, his name was Jesus. Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 29, John the Baptist looks across the River Jordan and he says, there he is, the Lamb of God. It was Jesus of Nazareth. It was the Son of God. His name is Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sin. But John called him the Lamb of God. How fitting. It's the last sacrifice for sin forever. One for all forever. So Jesus, the Lamb of God, goes to the cross, the altar, sacrifices himself on the altar once and for all. Sin's question is settled. All you got to do now is believe it, receive it. You're the sinner, he's the Savior, and you get the results of that forgiveness of sins, Christ once for all. You say, well, what's this? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Aha. Uh-huh. Now for the believer. We willingly lose our life for him. You try to save your life, you lose it, the Bible says. You try to spend it on yourself, it'll be wasteful. Nothing will work. Lose your life for Christ. I've given my life. I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I own him as my Lord and Master. And now 12 chapters into the book of Romans, Paul says, look, it's about time we get on the street with our salvation. We're going into the world, and I want you to make a decision before you step out on the street. I want you to say to God, I am done with myself. I present my body, my mind, my heart, my limbs, my lungs, my liver, my legs, giving it everything I got. The body houses it all. I am surrendering that. I want to know your will for my life. I want to know your plan for my life. You say, well, if you do that, God will make you be a missionary in Africa somewhere. No, don't believe the devil's lie. If he ever did, you'd love it. But that doesn't mean you've got to do something you don't like. That doesn't mean, listen, God knows you. He built you. He's got a schematic on you. He knows what his plan is for your life. He's equipped you for that plan. And there's nothing more honorable, more satisfying, more exciting than living out that plan. Why would you say, oh, I'm not going to do that? It's like, I want to be happy, but I don't want God in my life. I want to have an exciting life, but I want Jesus to be Lord. That's impossible. You already know you ruin it every chance you get. So give it over. Present your body a living sacrifice. Notice the qualifications: holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. If you're going to know God's will for your life, the first thing you have to do is yield your body. That's a little bit scary. I understand that. That's just a little bit scary. When I first got saved, I told God I'd do anything. I didn't care. Anything. Headhunters, crocodiles, you know, it doesn't matter. And the Lord says, okay, let's go to Bible school. And I go, oh, no, I don't want to go to Bible school. That's what I needed. God knew what I needed. He knew I could handle crocodiles and headhunters. He knew I could not handle Bible school. And so he wanted to train me. He wanted to make me completely dependent on him. And only the Lord knows how dependent I was on him in those 4 years of Bible school. So this is the beginning. Next week, Lord willing, I'm going to give you three more points of how to know the will of God for your life. Listen, if you got any friends, you get them here, because I tell you, you don't want to miss this.
Amen.
This is God's plan for your life, and it's available. You can have it. You want it, but you need to know what the steps are, because if you keep trying to get your finger in the pie, it's not going to work. This is a surrendered life to your master, the Lord Jesus. We'll talk about this more next week, Lord willing. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for including us in the great plan of the universe, including us in the great plan of God. Thank you for your will that is so available for us. We thank you that you've put everything in the hand of your son. And if we have your son, we have it. And if we don't have your son, we don't have it. And so, Father, we just commend the ministry, the preaching of the gospel, and the ministry of the word, and these dear souls that have joined us today into your hands, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.